Welcome to Slow Conversations about Harden Estate. I'm Sarah Helen, Creative Director of many of the businesses here. And in this first series, I'm talking with Charlie Gladstone, one of the current custodians of the estate, about the revitalisation of the West End of Harden Castle. This is Slow Conversations about Harden Estate, episode 7. Welcome back. I'm Sarah, Creative Director. I'm Charlie, Creative Director and founder of Harden Estate. And we are now in the West Bedroom. We were in the West Room to begin with. This is the West Bedroom. So on the same side as the West Room, obviously, looking out onto the old castle, the great big window just frames it beautifully. So, Charlie, first of all, let's talk about the vintage in here. There's some really beautiful pieces.
Yeah, Sarah, I mean, I think it's worth just sort of repeating that recording this is really a result of being asked to do it. And I think that we probably haven't sort of said that enough, that people have asked us if we could write down or whatever about what's in a room, and we just thought it maybe be more interesting to record it and just have a chat. But in this room, there's quite a lot of my absolute favourite antique and vintage dealers stuff, and you're sitting in a beautiful carpet chair, and that was sold to me by a friend of mine called Luke Shropshire, who has a brilliant website called Praise the Hoard. He doesn't have a huge collection, but he's got really strong taste, and he's a super nice guy, and I think the prices are very good. And he's got a sort of, he photographs everything really well, and he's got a really strong sense, and it's a very inspiring website. And I think he's just great. And then we've above the fireplace, we've got some this beautiful by appointment armory, and that was sold to me by a company called Desired Effects. And he mainly, I think, specializes in incredible sort of antique and vintage chairs, but he's got great taste. And actually, he offered me another, a bigger one of those yesterday, which I loved, but I just don't have a place for it. Hello, here comes the dogs. I'm sorry the dogs moving around is a constant kind of background noise to this conversation, but... and then the bedside tables are Spanish, and they come from people I've mentioned before in this series, Pointer's Antiques, Jono Pointer, and then we have got a lovely tall boy cupboard by the brilliant Henry Schinner of Priory Antiques. Again, a very sort of strong. I think a designer as well as a dealer with a very strong and clear taste. You can kind of recognise his stuff anywhere.
Yeah, I think that pretty much covers all of the vintage pieces here. One thing I think you touched on earlier, but something I've very much been learning from you, Charlie, throughout the whole, well, since we've been working together, but most particularly as we've, you know, I've been watching you dress and style this place, is to really focus on the line of sight and first impressions in a room, and it really makes quite a difference when you're looking to fit out a room if you really focus on the key focal areas. So your first impression. So talk to us, Charlie, when you first come through this door, what pieces of art really take your eye, and why did you put them?
Well, that's you're right, Sarah, and I really do think this is a huge. This goes a huge way towards making an impression of a room, is this idea that when you walk in, it's what you see first. And I think there are really three really striking things in here. I mean, first we have a small old portrait, which, as it were, came with the house, which I inherited. And then above that, we have one of Damien Hirst's spin paintings. Now, Hirst is at best a divisive figure. I mean, I think he's brilliant, and I've always been a massive fan of Andy Warhol. And I think Hirst and Warhol both have one particular thing in common, which is this idea that things can be made in a factory. And you know, as you know, Warhol had his factory. And this is the ultimate manifestation of that, because really
all Hearst has done with that is sign it. And there's this incredible new online gallery called Henny, who are doing a lot of Hearst's work at the moment, and they do limited edition, limited time runs. They've done some fantastic ones with Peter Doig. But with this, the customer designed this and chose the size and shape of it online, and then they print it, and then Hearst signs it. So, you know, I mean, Marmite, you don't have to admit, you know, a lot of people, I'm sure, say you've been completely ripped off. But I think that I am part of the process of reinventing the way that art is made that both Hearst and Warhol have done. But then next to that, which I think is, again, sort of this line of sight thing, is a very large desk, which we're using as a dressing table, which I had made by Tim Denton. And Tim Denton is another person who you introduced me to.
I'm not sure if it was myself or Reese, actually, but between us definitely has been on our radar, and he came to the festival once or twice. I can't remember, a few years ago. But he, yeah, he has really quite a recognisable trait of this, like, almost weird industrial, like, steel legs and then really beautifully finished contemporary wooden tops. He's made quite a few different, like, shop fittings, I know that. And also there's a place in Wrexham, kind of art gallery and hub, and called Tea Pawb, which translates to it from Welsh into, like, everybody's house, which I know he did lots of the furniture and design and space design, I think, for that. So, yeah, just a really interesting and super local and lovely guy, actually. I remember when he came to the festival. So really nice. And you've paired it with a chair that fits it really beautifully that you're sitting on.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. This is actually a John Lewis chair, which was very expensive for John Lewis. But this is about £250, I know, because I wanted to buy some more the other day and couldn't quite bring myself to. But I think it's very well made, and it's really nice. I mean, I'm a fan of John Lewis, by the way. There's nothing wrong with John Lewis. I think it's quite incredible. Its levels of service are, you know, if you want something good and quickly and at the right price, then John Lewis is your place. But you know, I think Tim's workshops are in Manchester. I think that's right. And I commissioned two of these, and they are, I think, very elegant and strong, and particularly confident in their simplicity. And then we've on top of that red table, we've gone for a couple of really quite industrial looking floss task lamps, which again I think are a quite striking pieces. We've gone for a bit of a red theme there.
Yeah, absolutely. It's funny, I know that we call this kind of dressing table, but I almost like to think of it as like a bit of a writing table as well, because it's just the perfect place to kind of just sit and, you know, be inspired from what you can see out the window. And to me, it feels like you could write on there as well. There's a lovely set of drawers, I guess you call it. I want to say that I think these are from Drew Pritchard, but I'm not certain.
No, I think I got those at Cheshire Antiques, actually, but I did get them at Cheshire Antiques, and indeed I got them from Stuart, who sold us the big street lamp and the dentist mirror that we've mentioned in previous episodes. I love these things. It's a set of 12 vernacular, handmade and handwritten drawers, and this has things like gutter bolts and panel pins written on it. And I love these things. I mean, one of the things that I've really tried to do in my more recent vintage and antique buying is to buy things of which there's only one. And it doesn't matter whether it's oil paintings or bits of vernacular furniture or bits of earthenware or whatever. And I think that there's probably a reaction in me to many years of buying big quantities of vintage stuff, because when we had Peddlers, I went many times to America, and we would try to fill a container, and of course, you know, inevitably a lot of that stuff is multiples, because that makes selling things much easier. So we'd buy, you know, 200 milk crates or 200 folding chairs, and that's, of course, as a commercial dealer, that's great, because you
you know, it makes life much easier. You take one photograph to sell 200 things. But I think my reaction now is just one-offs. And I love those things. And also I think that they, you need vintage pieces in a room like this to sort of wonkify the room. And you know, that is far from perfect. I mean, it's deliberately not perfect. So that's what I really like about that.
No, absolutely. And you're totally right. There's, you couldn't imitate, I don't think, you couldn't imitate that. Not if you tried, or not to any kind of quality. That I love, I'm not sure if, have you just made up that word wonkify? Because it, no, have you not?
Yes,
you have made it up.
Yeah.
But I love that, because actually that it's a really good word for the whole of the West End. And the more you look at the kind of the tops of the doors, or the, you know, the any kind of surfaces, the floors, the more you see how wonky everything is. And that certainly brings like a huge element. There's a huge element of charm to this place. It isn't there. There's a couple of doorways in particular, but once you notice it, you can't not see it. But it really adds charm.
It's really odd, actually, because there really are some extraordinary angles. I mean, if anyone is in the house while they're listening to this, have a look at the room, into the door into the West Room, for example. If you hadn't noticed, you'll see it's super wonky. And if you look at the big, very square, very angular Julian Opie above the fireplace in the West Room, you'll also see that the mantelpiece and the ceiling are both at different angles. But I think, you know, I think that it's very, there are three types of things, I think, in all of these rooms. And I think there's very contemporary modern stuff, and that's best represented probably by the floss lighting, some of the furniture like Tim Denton's, and the modern art. And then there's antique stuff that would have been here in the period. And then there is, so, you know, I mean, you know, Georgian, you know, hall chairs, mirrors, whatever. But then there is also this kind, I like this very sort of messed up vintage, you know, like this carpet chair, or the stripped down Swedish stuff we were talking about earlier. And then I suppose actually the fourth thing is the modern, simple, comfortable things. Like in this room, there's an extremely nice velvet headed heels super king size bed, and some cushions on that I'll get you to talk about in a moment, and a couple of Patrick Caulfields, and then a sketch of a sort of donkey stroke unicorn above the bed by one of my absolute favourite artists, who's a drawer called Charming Baker, who of whom I've got a lot of stuff. That's a print, and that comes in a lot of the art that we have bought for most of our houses comes from either Print Club London, who are brilliant, but also very particularly Jealous Gallery, who we've worked with before, and who they represent now Lacuina, who we talked about in a previous episode, and Charming Baker, and David Shrigley, and not only that, but they are master screen printers, and Bench Allen, of whom we have quite a lot of work in one of the bathrooms here, and Adam Bridgeland, with whom we have made endless projects, but has created a huge piece of art that was at Harden Outdoor and is going outdoors at Glendive soon. I think Adam is their studio manager, and both Bench and Adam are master screen printers, and I believe that they print all of Shrigley's work, and I think all of Michael Craig Martin's work as well. And particularly when you look at the Craig Martin stuff, it is mind-blowing. But I find Jealous and Print Club London really quite inspiring companies, because they are bringing these extraordinary artists to an affordable rate to people. And I mean, in doing the 14 holiday houses that Caroline and I have done in the last few years, I think that we have bought hundreds of pieces from them, and they're great. I mean, I just recommend them to anyone. I just think they're absolutely brilliant. But also, we have a very unusual thing here, which is that we very rarely buy anything framed, because we have, about 5 miles from here, an unbelievable guy called Mike, who we've worked with now all the way through Peddler's latter life, right the way through all the holiday houses. And Mike has a company called Indigo Frames, and it is he has a tiny, fairly, you know, innocuous looking workshop with a sort of storefront that you wouldn't think much of, and he is not only a genius at framing, but incredibly quick. And I think we do need a special shout out for him, because again, I think while I would, you know, both Print Club and Jealous offer framing, I mean, it's so nice to be able to have it done locally.
Absolutely. He's, yeah, completely deserves a shout out. And that's really one of the kind of unsung heroes of, you know, a lot of stuff that we do. And another kind of symbol of you know, what we really value here on the estate, which is working with super local people, but also for really long periods of time. And I think, you know, you and him work so closely together without even seeing each other very many times, you know. But it's one of those stories that I kind of love about this place, where he'll come every certain day of each week and, you know, collect and then drop off, and then, you know, has this kind of continuously working relationship, and there's never a fault with his work. And actually, it's only when you kind of really mention it is how much of an impact he has on you know, on this place without really, you should invite him up here actually to have a look.
Actually, I did. I went down to see him the other day, and I did say you must come up. But I mean, he, you know, we'd have this brilliant relationship because he comes every Wednesday, and so in the warehouse that's run by Tony, I literally just give it to Tony, and I will write, you know, black box as with the last one, float, you know, and then these three in here, you know, white mount float, and he just does it and turns it up. And I mean, it is really good, and actually, you know, it sounds a bit crass, and I'm sure lots of people already know this, but I mean, the quality of framing is as important as the quality of print. I mean, if you buy a nice print, do not get an IKEA frame. Do not do it. It is not worth it. And if you can find a local framer, I mean, you know, I would say that Mike offers unbelievable value for money as well.
Absolutely. And, you know, what I love is as well, it's not just like pieces of it's not prints or just prints or photographs that you will send him. You'll often send him a something, you know, a piece of fabric, or I don't know, an old flag, or, you know, just kind of anything you found, and it'll just come back beautiful. He can almost read your mind, but you only get that from, you know, long established relationships. And, you know, so yeah, and completely unsung hero. Thank you very much, Mike. I'm going to touch briefly on the cushions. As you mentioned earlier, we've got two beautiful, again, contemporary takes on traditional Welsh heritage blankets, tapestry blankets. And these are made by Julie, also known as the Welsh Girl Hay. Julie, who we love and has, again, been a regular at our festivals over the previous years. And she just, yeah, again, you know, brings life into the really traditional Welsh blankets in her own kind of signature style. She makes homewares and kind of known for like ponchos, really. And I know that she, you know, she sells them to really people all over the world, actually. And so she's really hit onto a niche there. And yeah, some beautiful cushions. You've got some upstairs as well. I have a really lovely scarf by her, actually, which I really need to fish out. It's that time of year. But a beautiful room. We must, yeah, another bit of Welsh heritage, Welsh tapestry, sorry, here on the floor. It's just quite a small floor runner. I know it's from Solva Woolen Mill, which is a mill down in Pembrokeshire. So again, one of the very few remaining working mills. I think, did you get that from Labour and Waite? Perhaps, yeah, you did. And it's, a really lovely bit of, again, nod to Welsh heritage, but you've paired it. I think there's something we haven't even touched on, kind of rugs and sheepskins here, but when you're here you'll notice that, you know, so many of them, and again, you've chosen them and picked them and sourced them from multiple different places. But what I really love about it is you've been doing this layering, which again I think lends itself well to like these big old rooms, you know, and it also gives this like level of comfort that you need in these big old spaces. But what's really nice is you can kind of layer pattern on pattern and, you know, completely different styles together, and it really works.
It's interesting that, isn't it? Because, I mean, I think in a weird way, you know, in here we've got three very different patterns on top of each other, and then some sheepskins. But actually, it's like so much taste. It's really just about the confidence to do it. And I bought the majority of the rugs here at auction, and the carpets. And I decided early on that I didn't want to use any contemporary patterns at all. There are a few new of these Welsh ones, but generally all of these things have been bought at auction. And actually, I found great joy with Druitt's antiques auctions. And I mean, I've bought more than we can use here, but we've really layered them up, and I think it does add comfort. But Druitt's are great because they sit sort of somewhere below the kind of Christie's, Bonham's, and Sotheby's kind of layer. But they do very good sort of house auctions, but not in the kind of not in the top tier. I just love them. And actually, funnily enough, we were talking about Mike the Framer. We should have a bit of a shout out here for the unbelievable Barry at BJW Logistics, who is an antique specialist delivery driver, a one-man company. And I saw him yesterday where he was bringing some stuff here for me to Harden and then taking some more stuff up to Glendive. And I said, how many miles did he do a year? And he said, well, I don't know, but I bought this van last November, and we're in December now, 13 months later. It's got 97,000 miles on the clock. So, he has actually literally carried nearly everything in the West End here, and in the gardener's house, and in the and in beekeepers. So, I love these kind of long term relationships. I mean, he is super. He's incredible, and he's actually a bit of a legend in the antiques trade, and people know him well because he's a proper antiques specialist. And Spencer Swaffer told me that he knew him as a young man, and they used to call him Tintin because he had hair like Tintin.
Oh, honestly, there's so much we could talk about. I think we're both thinking this as we're kind of speaking together about actually how many people are involved in these projects, whether they kind of work on the estate or not. So it's really quite fascinating. But we've still got three more bedrooms to go, so we should... this completes the first floor, actually, doesn't it?
Yeah, although I realise as we're giving shout-outs, this is Fiona from Aubergine in Scotland, who has made all of our curtains.
Yeah.
And not only made these and is brilliant, but also drove down from Scotland, having done all of the Glendive cabins and cottages once, to hang these. And we talked about the beautiful curtains earlier, but we didn't credit her. So, I mean, I do love that. I think, you're uncovering something clever here, which is, of course, your interest, which is these layers of people. And it's all very well having, Julian Opie and Patrick Caulfield and all these people. But actually, the framers and the curtain makers and the delivery drivers are the essence of this kind of team.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, and I'm sure at some point we'll get onto the many, many people that helped us bring everything up the stairs.
Oh my goodness, yeah.
That feels like a long episode. There's quite a lot of people to thank, really, isn't there?
Yeah. But I think it's also, we're trying not only to explain to people the sort of layers of people here and the people that have been involved, but also to say, if you are listening to this, work with these people, because... getting your frames done by a local framer like Mike, or your curtains made by a local curtain maker like Fiona or whatever, it's so much more valuable than getting them from IKEA or made by John Lewis. And you get a far better result. And, it's kind of the essence of shopping local and shopping small. And to me, it is really important because... anyone can get their frames made by a giant framing company, but you can't. You won't have Mike's and Fiona's and Barry's, indeed the shipping guy. If you don't support and build relationships.
Absolutely, I think we've ended on a very important point there. Thank you, Charlie.
Thanks, Sarah. Thanks so much.
See you on the next floor.
Absolutely.